Welcome to How to Make It Work, the radio show and podcast where we dive into real stories of people making life work in their own unique way. I'm your host, Annika. Let's get started. Welcome back to How to Make It Work. Today in the studio with me is Wes Rogers from Green Wave Surf School. All the locals here in Raglan know Green Wave, but what I actually did not know is that Green Wave is one of New Zealand's top-rated surf schools, which is pretty cool. So Wes is here today. He has surfed his way around the world from freezing cold waves in Massachusetts to the world-class lefts of Raglan. And now he's helping others catch the first wave. Wes, so good to have you on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's great to be here. So cool.
So Green Wave is actually run by three people, but Bing and Zen, I couldn't make it today, so it's just you in the studio. They're probably pushing some people into the wave, so what are they doing right now?
Well, Zen's on holiday right now, so I hope he's just enjoying his day. But yeah, Bing's working today. It's pretty cool having the three of us be owners because we can all kind of share the workload a little bit. And yeah, this time of year, we're kind of slowing down a little bit after our high season coming out of summer, so it's nice we all have a bit of time off right now. It's cool.
But yeah, I'm really glad that you're here. Over the last summer, I tried to get Zena on my podcast, but it's great to have you now.
Yeah, it might be a little shy, but yeah, I'm happy to be here. It's cool.
And you also worked as a freelance writer for the WSL, the World Surf League. So it's going to be interesting to talk about that and dive a little bit more into your professional and personal life.
Yeah, it's pretty wild having the WSL come here. It feels a bit full circle because when I first came to Raglan like 12 years ago, I was working for the WSL. So having the tour come here it's pretty surreal actually.
So that's something we will talk about in this episode. I just want to start out, I mean, I think I know the answer to this question already, but what brought you to Raglan and when was the first time you heard about Raglan?
Well, growing up surfing, like when you think of Raglan, or at least when I thought of Raglan, especially being a goofy foot, it's just synonymous with New Zealand and like one of the best left points in the world. So yeah, when I first came here, it was purely, to be honest, I just wanted to surf as much as possible. And then it kind of grew from there. But the first time I came here was actually in the middle of winter. So it was quite cool. It was really, especially back then, it was really quiet in winter. So it was kind of a cool opportunity. I met a lot of local people here and people that have kind of lived here their whole lives. And it was a really nice introduction to the community. And it's one of the main things that brought me back.
How come you came during winter? Because the swell is not even that good in winter, is it?
I don't even know. Like, I don't know what I was thinking. But I think coming from New England, I grew up in a really cold place. And I kind of had an idea of what the climate was like in wintertime. And I figured there'd be a lot of swell and not that many people. And that was sort of the case. Obviously, you get a lot of weather in winter, but there are some pretty cool windows of just really good, uncrowded waves. So that was my first kind of experience.
Okay, so you are from, is it Massachusetts?
Yep, I grew up in Massachusetts. The North Shore of Massachusetts, a place called Gloucester. It's a really old, it's one of America's oldest seaports. And yeah, I just grew up around the ocean my whole life. And yeah, started surfing when I was really young. My dad kind of got me into it, so.
Yeah, tell us a bit more how you got into the surfing.
Yeah, it was just my family, like my dad, my aunts, my cousins, they all live on the New England seacoast. We all kind of grew up there and just my first memories. I don't really remember when I first started surfing. It sort of at some point it transitioned from being on a boogie board to jumping on a surfboard. But I would have been really, really young. And then when I was like, I'd say like 13, 14, 15 is when I really got into it and started surfing year round there, which is at the time was a pretty big endeavor to find like winter suits that fit someone a bit, like kids, that someone a bit smaller. Because in the winter there you need like, it's a whole nother level. It's kind of like surfing at the bottom of the South Island. That would be the closest thing I'd compare it to. But you need hood, thick boots and gloves. And there's sometimes snow on the beach. So it's a pretty wild place to grow up surfing. Yeah.
How thick do you, the wetsuit is like 5 millimeters thick?
Sometimes six even.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's definitely pretty heavy duty. But it was a cool place to grow up surfing. The community was really cool. And I still have lifelong friends that I've met through surfing back there. So it was really, really nice community to grow up surfing in.
That's how I imagine surfing. I don't know if they surf on Iceland or Norway, but I've seen videos where there's actually ice on the water, like the waves are like pushing the icy.
Yeah, no, yeah. It's wild. Like the stuff you see, it's.
Is it the same in New England?
Same idea. Yeah, like I mean, I have such vivid memories of walking on the beach in like waist deep snow, like pretty.
Oh my god!
Yeah, like
how did you even get into the water? It must have been so freezing.
Yeah, it's just I don't know. It's weird. Like I feel like right when I, around when I was a teenager, the wetsuit started to get really good and it became a lot more approachable. Like if you have the right gear, it is like very doable. But I think, yeah, it kind of reached a point where wetsuit technology was able to sort of manage the cold. And when the waves are really good, our best surf back there comes in the wintertime. It's, you don't really think about it too much.
Mm. Is it quite consistent or how is it compared to Raglan, for example?
Oh, Raglan's, as far as places and consistency, it's not even, Raglan's a whole different level. It's probably one of the most consistent places in the world for surf, in my opinion. There are places that definitely get better during certain parts of the year, but you can, the amount of days you can surf here is pretty amazing. Where I grew up, like the quality of waves are very, very good, but it's nowhere near consistent as here. Be more similar to the East Coast of New Zealand, kind of similar. Kind of swells where it'll go flat for a few weeks and then there'll be waves, and whereas here it's just a constant sort of thing.
So surfing has been one of your passions from early on. When was the point where you thought you could turn it into a business, a job?
It's a good question. So when I was like maybe 15 or 16, I started working at our local surf shop, and it was a really nice community run surf shop. It's gotten pretty famous over the years. Just the owner, Dave Cropper's, just been a really good friend and mentor of mine, and he gave me a job there when I was when I was really young, and that sort of like, I was like, oh, this guy figured it out. He's making a living out of surfing in New England. Like, I feel like I could figure that out too, and I worked there for, you know, right through university. So I was, you know, worked there for almost a decade and got exposed to a lot of different aspects of surfing. And just like the business behind it, and met a lot of people in the industry, and that was sort of my introduction to that side of it.
Did you study back home on the East Coast? Because I saw that you also studied in San Diego.
Yep. So I went to college to university in San Diego, and that's where I sort of started studying like media and communications, journalism, that kind of thing. And but I always went back home in the summers and worked at the shop. So I kind of had feed in both places. Yeah.
And then the surf in San Diego, how was that?
It was great. Like it was so different to where I grew up. Again, like really consistent, and there's waves you could surf every day, so that was really cool. But and the thing I remember most about being there is just meeting a lot of really good friends, and the waves are just like a part of it. But it was cool. I was on the surf team for our university, and we got to compete all around California, and I still have friends from that time as well.
Oh, that's sick. I didn't know you have surf teams at uni.
Yeah, and it's not much of a thing on the East Coast, but in California, I think there's like 20-something teams now. So you go around to different, I think there's like 5 contests per year, and they're at different places around California, and then there's a nationals at the end of the year. So
nationals, but only with the university teams?
Yep.
Oh, that's super cool. Did you ever compete in other competitions?
I did a little bit growing up, just our local, we call it ESA, so Eastern Surfing Association. It's like the East Coast governing body of like competitive surfing. And so I did a few of those growing up, but it wasn't so much of a thing in our area. Surfing was really small. Like when I started, it's changed a lot now. I think surfing has gotten more popular everywhere, but it wasn't as much of a, I guess, priority or something, as at least the surfing side of it. The competitive wasn't.
Later on, you never thought about competing?
Not really. It was never really the thing that I associated with surfing as much. I just really liked it. Just being in the ocean was always my favorite thing. Mm. And the competitive side was never really a huge drive.
Yeah, totally understand. I feel like, not that I'm at the level to compete, but I feel like it would take the fun off surfing.
But yeah, then, it's just different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a different thing.
But then I sometimes think just to surf Manu Bay with less people, I might just sign up for a comp just to have like a fun surf.
For the board ride. Yeah, yeah. No, that's definitely a perk of it for sure. Yeah.
So when you finished your studies in journalism and communications in San Diego, what was your next step?
Yeah, so when I finished school, I traveled quite a bit actually. I kind of had saved up from working multiple summers in a row back home, and just, I started traveling a lot. I was all over like Central America, and I was in Indonesia for a bit. And then I was trying to figure out how I could keep doing that and still work. So I, a professor of mine at University of San Diego, where I went to school, was a former editor of Surfer Magazine, and he had a connection kind of with the WSL, and kind of like one thing led to another, and I was connected with some people over there, and they were kind of looking for writers, and I can't believe they hired me. Like, I had no experience, but they were at a time, it was pretty new. The World Surf League was a new thing. So it used to be called the ASP, Association of Surfing Professionals. And then they kind of rebranded it and sort of revitalized the brand. And so there was a lot of kind of new things happening, and they were just looking for people to hire. And I was lucky enough to get on their media team, and I was working fully remote, which was kind of new for me, and basically covering the contests and writing articles and just doing all kinds of things on the back end of like their programming and mostly following their events though. Yeah,
that sounds so cool. That's usually how it goes. I think you just need the vitamin B and the networking, and then I guess you had a lot of experience on surfing, you know, like the topic surfing.
Yeah.
Did you do freelancing for them, or were you actual staff?
I was on staff,
like full time.
Yep.
Wow, that's so cool. And then remotely, so did you have to travel to go to the competitions, or did you just do everything remote?
It's funny, I didn't. Like, I did everything remote. People ask me that a lot, and I didn't have a huge desire to go to the contests, mm-hmm. mostly because if you're trying to surf a lot, you're getting waves around the top 60 surfers in the world, pretty difficult. Yeah, I was mostly just remote. I was working from all kinds of different places, but I didn't really need to be on site to do my job, so I just sort of did it from wherever.
Free FM 89.0, independent community media.
This station is a member of CAMA, the Community Access Media Alliance. Find out more at cama.nz. The website has loads of information, and thanks to our friends at Meta Digital, it looks great too.
From rhythms so soft they break your heart to lyrics that crash through walls of injustice, Echoes of Dissent is about the music that challenges power and the people bold enough to create it. From civil rights to climate justice, we uncover the stories and the people behind the sounds. Because when voices rise together, they don't just make music, they make change.
Echoes of Dissent, Thursdays at 4 on Free FM 89.0 and available on all podcasting platforms.
I guess you had the contacts and the interviews through the WSL.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and then you could just do it on call or something.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. And then I imagine you were like one of the first digital nomads traveling and working remotely at the same time.
Yeah, I think that was before that thing was even termed.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about it too much, but it was a cool experience. I learned a lot just trying to communicate with people all over the world and get stuff done in different time zones, and it was definitely a challenge.
Yeah, I can relate, because I did some digital nomading the last 3 years. I mean,
Yeah, I was going to say you've done similar work, yeah.
Yeah, also like a media analysis and journalism, and that's also how I got to Raglan, because I had my online job on the side.
Yeah.
And it is quite hard juggling deadlines and different time zones. Is there one story that you remember, maybe like one challenge and one learning that you had working remotely?
Not one particular thing stands out. I just remember like watching heats in Europe trying to cover a contest, and it was wherever I was, it was like 2 a.m. And I just remember being like an absolute zombie for the rest of the day. Like, there's certain contests you would be like, Europe in particular, for whatever reason, you're always up at really odd hours.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a tricky one. I prioritize sleep. So like when I wasn't sleeping well, I'm just like all kind of messed up.
I know how that feels. And you never thought about going to Europe and surfing somewhere in Europe so the time zones would match?
Yeah, I think I was sort of on my own program at that time, and I didn't go to many of the contests.
Which one was your favorite country to stay in for longer and work and surf?
Probably here. I always loved coming here. And spending time in Raglan was probably the reason one of the reasons I moved back, was it seemed like a very livable place. Like, I've traveled all over the place, and this was definitely one of the spots I was like, yeah, I could live here instead of just visit here, mm-hmm. you know.
And how did you go from writing for the WSL to coaching at Greenwave and also like running the business?
Yeah, so I had met prior to Greenwave, I had met Bing and Zenor when I first came here. Kind of a long story, but basically I had a friend that worked in the surf industry back in the States that I got to know through working at the surf shop. And he actually went to uni with Bing, and they were like really close friends. So when I was coming over here, that's how we got kind of connected. And that's how I met Zen, and it's kind of like we just became friends. And then when I came back in whatever, I think it was 2017 was when I came back. So they started the company. It was Bing, Zen, and then our other friend Ryan. And I came back in 2017. I was just like going to spend some time in Raglan, and I sort of ended up not on purpose. I just started ending up managing Greenwave. Mm-hmm. And then at that time, Ryan was slowly trying to transitioning out of the company, just he had other stuff going on. And then the next year, I think I kind of became an owner, and then it kind of went from there. But that seems like so long ago now. It's weird to think about.
And did it seem like a big step, you know, owning a company it's not on the other side of the world, but in a different country? Did it feel like a big decision?
Yes and no. Like, I always felt really comfortable here. Like, being in Raglan felt, there's a lot of things that feel like very home to me about it. Yeah, I guess yes and no. I think at the time I didn't really know what was going to come of it. Like, I didn't know what was going to happen with the business, or I didn't know Raglan was going to become what it has. Mm. And so I think we just took it a year at a time, and the business kind of evolved over that time as well.
Which is really good, because otherwise you just stress about the future.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one thing. Oh, there's no use in doing that. Yeah. But it's hard not to. Yeah.
And also, I think you're going back home every summer. Well, yeah. American summer, and then for us winter, because the business is very seasonal.
Yep.
So I guess it's also one of the challenges. Maybe you can talk a bit more about also making it financially work, because this podcast is about entrepreneurship and, you know, mm-hmm. making it work in Raglan. So yep. Yeah, what are the challenges running this business, especially when we look at seasonality and making it work financially?
Yeah, I guess that's the challenge with every business in Raglan, right? I mean, especially in tourism, there is a very distinct season here when you have to, like you said, you have to make it work and maximize what you can in those however many months there are. I have noticed, though, it's that season's gotten extended mm-hmm. over time. Like, I think, like 10 years ago, I feel like right now, for example, this place would be pretty empty. Mm-hmm. Whereas now I feel like the season's getting longer on either end. So like before summer and then into autumn as well. So I think there is, you know, that makes it a little bit easier. But I think it's just, just maximizing the time that you have in the summer to really capitalize on people just being in town. Is the main thing. And then just offering a really good product and good customer service and all that stuff.
And it's a pretty cool lifestyle working over summer in New Zealand and then going home for the summer at home and then surfing there as well, I guess. Or what do you usually do when you go home?
Yeah, when I go back, it's just mostly family time. Mm. Yeah, it's just mostly family time. That's what I really enjoy is like when I go back, it's just switching off and just enjoying, just being with people, like loved ones. And yeah, that's the best.
And how has it been for you taking over some ownership of the business and running it? Because I think you've never run a business before.
Yeah, no. Yeah, again, it's like slowly evolved over time. And I think having two other owners has made it a lot easier. Mm-hmm. I think we all bring something a little bit different to the table. So I think being able to bounce ideas off of each other and help each other out and just spreading the workload, that's like, I can't imagine doing it by myself. Mm-hmm. Like, it would be pretty, pretty full on. Yeah.
Can you think of like one big learning that you've, you know, realized running this business?
A lesson or something?
Yeah, like a lesson when it's about running a business, owning a business.
I think just sticking to what you're good at and knowing when to ask people for help. Mm. So like, for example, like we're building a new website. I tried to make one myself and it was just not, I just was struggling. And we just got to the point where we were like, all right, we need to like ask people that are good at what they do and are professionals at what they do to like help enhance our own business. And that's the cool thing about Raglan. Like even in the last month or so, like we're using Webpace down the street to help build our website. We had a photo shoot with Leone from Surf Girl New Zealand the other day. And so being able to like collaborate with other businesses and like sort of help lift each other up is pretty cool, especially if you can do it locally.
Yeah, for sure. Leone was on my podcast too. So if you want to listen to the podcast with Leone, just go on to Spotify or the Radio's website.
That'd be cool.
And are you still like doing communications or journalism, or are you taking over parts of it for your business now?
I don't really do anything outside of Greenwave at the moment for as far as the journalism side of things. But I do, like, I think when you own a business, you end up doing a little bit of everything. Mm. So whether it's like we've applied for grants, doing like some grant writing, or just like, I don't know, responding to a really difficult email. It's
like, what? The communications pro has to do it.
Like there's always, you always pull out some old tools to sort through some different issues and problems. And
especially now you're the media representative for Greenwave.
Yeah, talking on the radio. I guess I am now, yeah.
That's what Zena said the whole time when I asked him to come onto my show. He was pushing it onto you, saying like you're the media person.
yeah, of course. Stitch up.
So when is the new website going to be online?
We're aiming in the next month, I would say, month or so. We just got a bunch of new like content. So we're trying to just refresh everything. It's not going to be anything too dramatic as far as like what it looks like. It's going to be pretty similar. Just be like a nice refresh though. It'll be good. We're also finally getting a booking system, which has been we've never had one. We've always been pretty old school with our, like people always just call or email, but we're trying to keep up with the times. Yeah. No one wants to talk on the phone anymore.
A lot of people will just come by and ask for a lesson.
Yeah, that happens too. Yeah, we love it. Like I think one of the ways our business has grown is just through word of mouth, which I think it's really cool because I don't know. It's just like seems to be a really organic way to, just to grow your business.
I mean, it's impressive because, like I said in the introduction, Greenwave is one of the top surf schools in New Zealand.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, people seem to like it. So yeah. it's great.
What do you think is your secret?
I just think keeping it fun and just being really customer focused and just making sure people have a good time. Like really, and then that really comes with hiring people, like good staff. We've come to a place where we need to rely on other people to do a lot of the lessons, and we're kind of overseeing things more. So just having really good staff helps so much, having good people around you.
And you're also guaranteeing everybody who's taking a lesson that they will stand up in their first lesson. How can you guarantee that? And has it ever happened that it didn't work?
No, we're 100% as far to my knowledge, at least. But I think just when you're learning how to surf, you need to be on the right surfboard. So the number one thing that happens when people come to us trying to learn how to surf that maybe have tried it once before, more often than not, they're on the wrong board or haven't been taught like the proper technique. But a lot of it comes down to being on the right surfboard. So we have some big surfboards. So like if people are struggling to get up to their feet, we have equipment that will help them get there.
And how does your day-to-day look like? What's your favorite part about working for Greenwave?
I mean, being around the ocean is like a huge one. I just am happier when I'm around the ocean. So any chance I get to be in or around the ocean, I'm happy. And just, I think people that come to take surf lessons are generally excited and they bring like a good energy. So just being around people that are like happy to be here and want to experience something new or just go out and have fun and enjoy being in the surf. And I think, that's just nice being around that kind of energy and people.
Mm. Yeah. I think sometimes it's also just enough to woo them on, just push them into the wave and just have fun with them together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It definitely brings you back. Like it definitely is a reminder to not take surfing too seriously. Mm. Because I think you can easily get caught in that if you've been surfing for a long time. You can kind of get caught up in, just like dumb stuff really, but when you go back, when you see people learning to surf for the first time, it like kind of brings you back a little bit to like what it's all about, you know.
I need that too sometimes, because I've realized, especially surfing in Raglan, when there's a lot of people in the crowd, that I paddle out and I get like kind of competitive right away.
Yeah, totally.
And I don't even look around me anymore. I don't even notice the nature anymore and the beauty. Yeah. So sometimes I need to, you know, just sit on my board and take a breath and just enjoy.
Yeah, what's definitely. About me. That's I think that's so important. Yeah, you can easily get caught up in that like competitive environment. Yeah, no, it's really healthy to just enjoy being in the water. So it's kind of what it's all about.
I want to go back to what you mentioned earlier, that you've, within the last 10 years running Green Wave, you've noticed a change in the seasons, that the seasons extend.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that has something to do with Raglan becoming more popular and also surf becoming more popular, or what do you think that is?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both. Like, I think a lot of people are coming to Raglan now that don't necessarily surf, which is kind of cool. Like, I think historically people think of it as like, oh, you have to just come to Raglan and be a surfer, but I feel like there's lots of people that come here and even live here that like they're not into surfing, but that's just like a testament to the community here and what attracts people to this place. It's not just about the waves, you know. So I think people come here for all different kinds of reasons. Even just being in town today, like, it's crazy how many people are around. But I think people, yeah, then they're definitely not all here to surf. I think they just like the feel of the place.
And then also goes together with the WSL, the World Surf League New Zealand Pro competition coming to Raglan next month. We just, before this interview, we said it's so busy already this weekend and we cannot imagine how it's going to be when the Surf League is here.
Yeah.
And it's going to be really interesting to have a little bit of your WSL insight knowledge.
Yep.
Was Raglan or New Zealand ever in your mind for the WSL?
No, it was never, at least when I was there, it wasn't on my mind, and it wasn't, as far as I know, wasn't on their mind either.
Mm.
I think Australia has always been the focus of competitive surfing in this area of the world. I think there's so many good surfers in Australia, and the surf industry is really big in Australia. So I think historically all the competitive surfing is focused there, at least for like the really big events. Just for that fact, I didn't think New Zealand would be on the map, but obviously it seems like things changed a bit and they lost Jeffreys Bay. Basically Raglan's replacing Jeffreys Bay for this year on their tour schedule. I have no idea how it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, it'll be interesting to see.
So Jeffreys Bay is a point in Australia, and
yeah.
What do you mean they lost it?
So normally that's on their tour schedule every year for the world tour. But I don't know exactly what happened, but that event was canceled this year. I think there's some financial issue.
Mm.
So it got cut. And so they needed to replace it with something.
Mm.
I think Margaret River finishes this week, and then they go to Snapper Rocks on the Gold Coast. So they're already in this part of the world, and they needed a new event to replace J-Bay with. So yeah, it's Raglan.
A lot of locals are really excited for it, especially when it comes to the local economy. And then other locals are a bit skeptical. Yeah, in your opinion, what do you think is the WSL going to bring for your own business, but also maybe for the town?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. It's hard to say. I think a lot of it will depend. There's a few factors, like the weather and the waves. I think when you really simplify it, having good weather and waves will really impact everything, like as far as the turnout, as far as the viewership. I think the town, no matter what, is going to feel like it'll definitely, a lot of people will benefit from just more people in town during those weeks. For us, I don't know if we're going to be like any busier than we normally would, maybe a little bit. I think the demographic that's coming here to watch professional surfing probably has a bit of background in surfing. So I don't know if we're going to be crazy busy, but I'm sure we'll be a little busier than normal.
And do you think there's going to be any long-term changes? Do you think that there will be more tourists coming to Raglan now that it's more on the map, like the surf map?
When you think of New Zealand, I think Raglan's the first place you think of for surfing. So I don't know if it will make it that much popular in that regard. I think if the waves are really, really good and they show the best surfers in the world making those waves look that good, that will probably capture people's attention. But yeah, the waves kind of will dictate a lot. And the weather, of course. Even for us, we notice, like, you know, you can surf any conditions, but when it's sunny and pretty and offshore and glassy, like, we get more people surfing.
And for you personally, are you looking forward to the WSL coming to Raglan?
I am indifferent.
You don't want to see the old workmates.
It's funny. I don't think I'm as enamored with professional surfing as people would think. Like, I've been to a lot of world tour events and I've surfed with a lot of high level surfers and it's cool, but like, it's not something that I am like super excited about. I'm more excited for, like, I think the young, like a lot of the younger kids that grew up surfing here, I think it'll be so, so exciting for them just to see like all their heroes surfing their home break. Like, that's pretty special. But for me personally, I'm sort of like, yeah.
You don't want to share the waves with all the pros?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to get waves during those weeks, for sure. One thing I will say is WSL, they're pretty, as far as like being respectful of the land and like the people and all that stuff, I think they do a pretty good job. I'm sure there'll be some hiccups, 100%, because it's a new venue for them. They've never been here before. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to run like perfectly smooth. But we'll see what happens.
I'm really excited. I'm looking forward to it.
No, it'll be something definitely very different.
Maybe one last question to end this episode. Since you're someone who's kind of made your passion into your career, do you have an advice for someone who wants to build their life around what they love?
Yeah, I would say just don't get too ahead of yourself. Like, just take things a step at a time. Like, you never want to go into something thinking like 5 years ahead. I think if you are passionate about something, just start somewhere and just see where it goes. That'd be my biggest piece of advice. I think as soon as you start looking like, you know, you're like, oh, what's this going to look like, you know, 5 years from now, it's not really a healthy exercise, because you never know what life's going to bring, you know? So I think, yeah, just taking it one step at a time and trying to enjoy the process as much as you can, and just reaching out to people along the way that can help. Because I think people, especially in a community like this, I think people are willing to help and, you know, provide guidance if they can.
Really love that advice. I go with the flow all the time. So
yeah, it's good.
Thank you so much for coming today, Wes.
Cool. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
You've been listening to How to Make It Work with me, Annika. Catch us live on Raglan Community Radio every Monday at 12:30, or listen anytime on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Until next time, keep finding your way and keep making it work.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.